Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Daniel Silk, political economy analyst and futurist. Daniel, fantastic to have you with us again here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Oh, well, it's good to be a regular.
Absolutely smiling from ear to ear. Happy you see yourself as a regular. We're going to keep it that way. You wrote an article, a fascinating article for News 24, Hostage Nation. What were you trying to say?
Yes, well, thank you. What I was trying to say is that it is almost as if, we've all in South Africa been taken hostage by a governing party, the ANC, and the ANC's own internal faction fighting. The ANC itself seems to be locked in battle in just about almost every province of South Africa amongst each other. And these internecine factional battles really make it very difficult for the ANC to progress with reform, whether it's a policy reform, economic policy reform, or for that matter, it seems to be very, very difficult to clean up corruption as well. And if you are locked in this navel-gazing exercise that the ANC is in, the rest of us all have to sit, honestly, as hostages on the sidelines waiting for these matters to clear, if at all. And I think this really holds us back and prevents South Africans really from beginning the necessary recovery that we all need.
I hear you loud and clear, Daniel. What I'm thinking, though, is a hostage implies that somebody's got the power, and the reality is that we have the power. We just choose to do nothing with it. We put them back in time in and time and time again. How do you explain that?
Well, in a sense, you're correct. Although in a hostage situation, the hostage takers often have the power for an extended period of time, the hostages are either freed, or they are able to take their own action to get out of the position. Now, if that's an analogy, I suppose, we could argue that one way of getting out of the position in South Africa is for the ANC to be really given a shock at election time. We've just celebrated, our Freedom Day in South Africa, and we've all extolled the virtues of our democracy in this country for the last 21 years or so. But one aspect of our democracy that we haven't quite got right is to really foster a culture of a competitive democracy where the governing party really fears the wrath of the voter at an election. And I've always maintained that the only time you're going to get a politician to sit up and listen to you, and it doesn't matter which party it is when they fear losing their job. And I think that's the way to get out of the quandary that we're in, to really lobby, whether it's as part of an opposition, or to lobby directly to the ANC through the various structures, through the business community, through all the other social structures in South Africa. That South Africans, frankly, have had enough of watching this country stagnate as the governing party attempts to sort out its own dirty laundry.
So why have we been so incredibly dismal at building that opposition?
Well, I think when you've come out of a period of, such sort of heinous crimes as we've seen in the pre-1994 era, the longevity or the shelf life of the Liberation Party, the ANC, is probably longer than one would normally expect, especially given the fact that the ANC has not performed so well over the course of the last 10, 15 years or so. In other countries, in more mature countries, you would expect opposition parties to gain traction. Now, in South Africa, what we have seen is that voters have stayed away from the polls. Many voters who would have traditionally supported the ANC are upset. They are fed up. They're not yet ready to vote for an opposition party, but they're not turning out in great number to vote for the ANC. The gift for the ANC, I suppose, is that South Africa's opposition are now in a spot of disarray. They're fragmented. They're balkanizing. And this fragmentation of opposition actually affords the ANC a get-out-of-jail card to remain in power.
So when I read your article this afternoon and thinking about it, I thought of the immense power of liberation politics. The fact that the ANC must be perceived as the party that brought liberation to the vast majority of the oppressed in South Africa. At what point, and this I suppose is a question with no answer, but I'm asking you anyway, at what point does one feel comfortable enough to vote against the party that's given you your freedom?
Well, I suppose there's an inflection point where the reward for the past really has to be juxtaposed against the fear for the future. And if the future course of South Africa looks so bleak that actually offsets the necessity to reward the ANC for its freeing of South Africa, that's the point where change will come. But I think too that for many South Africans, there isn't a culture of a competitive democracy. Remember, we didn't have it under the old National Party. The National Party were in power from 1948 till 1994. This is not a country where we have these entrenched changes of the government, as of course you have in the state of Israel for that matter. And that culture really has to be built in South Africa. And part of the reasons why I would argue that we don't have that culture is that South Africans are fearful. It's almost better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And for many South Africans who are reliant now upon the largesse of the state through social income grants and even through a job in the bureaucracy, there is a fear, I think, that a non-ANC political party may well affect those two aspects and therefore create a degree of insecurity for many. And this is a challenge for opposition parties in South Africa. How do you make South Africans feel secure enough that they're not just scared of voting for you?
So your ray of light, the building of a cohesive, united opposition is one hell of a big ask. Would it not be more realistic to perhaps hope that the factionalism in the ANC would in fact be the force that would cause it to split, and then wouldn't that be a more realistic option for us, and with a hope that the Ramaphosa faction has gained the upper hand?
Yes, I sort of hinted that in the article. In fact, ultimately, South Africans are waiting for that to happen, given the fact that it is unlikely that opposition are going to secure some sort of majority mandate. They might even be more fragmented after local government elections later this year. We all ultimately sit around waiting for the ANC itself to fragment and therefore shake up the political system. And look, I think you need both to happen, frankly, in South Africa. You do need a more consolidated opposition movement in South Africa. And what we've seen, certainly in the last 9 months to a year or so, is precisely the opposite of that within opposition. So we wait for a fragmentation of the ANC. It's a reactive way of looking at where we should be in South Africa rather than working towards a more cohesive opposition that really can build itself up.
That's a great place to leave it. Daniel Silk, political economy analyst and futurist regular here on Chai FM. Thank you so much for your insights this afternoon.
Pleasure. Lovely to be with you.